All right, this is Commissioner Brooks. It's 10:19. Calling the meeting back to order. Still joining me is Commissioner Van Beek. We are going to take up the second bullet point on the agenda for the assessor's budget workshop. The assessor and his team are here, so I will hand it over to him.
Chairman Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek, thanks for having us today. We're here with, I believe, a fair amount of information for you on our budget, both of our budgets. We've got a lot of information to go, well, a fair amount. Our budget didn't change a whole lot. We did put in, my battery's dying. Can we start off with the motor vehicle budget? That's the smaller of the two?
Sounds good.
Lisa handed you a packet of information that says assessor's office motor vehicle budget on it. This kind of covers the operational side. It shows our, kind of breaks down our request in the compensation program. And UNA, you'll see that we put in $110,000. And prior to fiscal year 2025, we worked with the prior compensation person, and I set up a model for both offices' pay scales, essentially, to try and create an office-wide model to create some consistency within the positions within my office. Marty has not seen these numbers. Director Danner has not seen these numbers. We anticipating meeting with her soon. Just want to put that on the record that this would be news to her as well. She knows about the model that I have set up. In the model, on both of them, my min to mid is 10 years, and then 20 years mid to max. And earlier, when we kicked off the budget season with the compensation discussions, she said min to mid should probably be around 5 years. We haven't made that adjustment because that increases the ask. So this year we would like to stick with what we have, and then in future years we may adjust that 10-year min to mid at some point.
Chairman Assessor, can you tell me what your to max was? 20 years was your max?
So 30 years from beginning and
okay.
To the end.
Okay, so 11 to 20 is, okay, that next group. Okay, thanks.
Yep. I'm willing to share what I have put together if you all want to see that sometime. We don't have time to go through that today. So my positions, in the background in my model, they're all set up in the grades, and we adjusted the wages back in 2025 based upon moving grades. We didn't get that formalized. We changed HR directors, and just things have been going on, and we haven't gotten back to that. So this request it's inclusive of already adjusting those positions. So this is just catching up on the stepping grade in position for the way the employees are structured within that wage model.
Okay, now I have a question. So what I heard you say was that you're saying that the assessor's office was missed in some of that? No?
Chairman, we adjusted wages back in fiscal year 2025.
I remember that.
On the dollar amount.
Right.
Get the paperwork filed to reflect the changes we did within that grading structure.
Okay.
So in to the employee, the money's there. We just didn't get the paperwork done to match it.
Okay.
So we need to do that still, and it would be great to get that done this year, and then just maintain the step in grades based upon what was already set up.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
And then I hadn't heard anything about what we anticipated doing with COLA, so I just put in 3%. It's a number. Whatever we come to countywide, I'm willing to adjust that. We have, I think Chairman Brooks made a comment about he wanted to see a hybrid, or I can't remember your exact words you used, but.
It's probably more like a, almost like a progressive income tax, but it would be regressive, so the bottom would probably have to be based on the information that the HR director presented as far as how many people in grades 11, 12, and 13 were not even to the mid yet, but
yeah,
they've been there longer than 5 years kind of thing.
We've kicked around some ideas internally. We're putting together numbers we're not prepared to. We've got a couple of different things to present at some point regarding compensation, but it's not completely done, so I didn't want to share it today. So we are the tail end of last year. Fiscal year, we had some vacancies, and with the addition of the health insurance that we ended up being a higher premium at the tail end of last year, or mid-year, whenever that hit, we didn't fill positions. And if you look on page 2, each grouping has FY 24, 25, and 26 in the left-hand corner of the box. You see that? So if you look at the green bars, those are the wait times. So in fiscal year 24, we try to like to be under 5 minutes on wait times. You'll notice that May through September, we were short-staffed, and those numbers jumped significantly. So we have made the decision to fill the positions again. And then you'll look in fiscal year 26, we're doing much better. We're back under 5 minutes on average transactions. So our recommendation is we're not going to hire any new positions, but we want to keep the ones filled that we have. And then also in there, on the right-hand side of each one of those boxes, there's a total number of people that have visited our office. There's some metric numbers from October to December. And you'll kind of see we're still tracking with the customer volumes we've had for the two prior fiscal years. So that's kind of leading me to believe that we need to keep the amount of employees that we have out there. At some point in time, there is going to be a time when we may look at downsizing staff. That's kind of every year when we get to a spot that we get slow and we have turnover, I'm pretty naive to fill, not naive, but apprehensive to fill them quick. But we're showing strong demand still with walk-in customers. ITD continues to build out online. And at some point in time, as our population ages with technology, we get more comfortable with technology, people are going to ultimately end up going online and doing transactions online. But I track this every year. You've probably heard the same speech every year. At some point, that's going to become a thing. But we're not there yet. So that was what page 2 was. Page 3, the next few pages, you're going to see kind of the transactions that we have control over. You all are able to set an admin fee for registration renewals. And so if you look at fiscal years, these are 23, 24, 25, and 26. October, on the right-hand side again, October through December, we're about 5% behind. And that kind of remains constant for the next couple columns. But we're heading into our busiest season, and we usually pick up throughout the summer. So I think we're probably okay. We're not adjusting registration renewals at this point in time. The cost per transaction.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yep.
So given that information and that you're holding strong, and that, help me understand, so if there is a requested increase in wage structure, that there's not an adjusting compensating administrative fee to help offset that, so it doesn't fall to people that aren't getting the registration.
Chairman Brooks, Commissioner Remby, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Slides.
Okay.
And if I don't, remind me and I'll.
Okay.
Okay, so we're a little bit behind there. I guess one point to along that line at the moment. If you look at October, November, December, the first three columns.
Which page?
On page three.
Okay.
And the difference between fiscal year 2025 and 26. So in 2025, we had more transactions than we did in fiscal year 2026, but we generated more income in 26. So with that, we adjusted the admin fee.
And that was my next question. So the adjustment happened in 25?
Yeah.
At the end, okay.
Five.
Yeah.
This fiscal year 26 will be our first full year of that adjustment. So when we get to the end, we'll kind of see where we're at.
Okay.
So if you look in, again, on the page three, October to April, if you look at the dollar amount, October through April in fiscal year 25 was $436,000. And then in fiscal year 2026 is $460,000. So the numbers on the bottom, I should have labeled that those are count differences, not dollar differences. So I could add another column to that to show the difference. So we're behind in transactions, but ahead in dollars received.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to you for that question, because I would have forgot to point that out.
No, that's fine. And I guess my point in asking that too is that with the increase in inflation and what it costs to do more difficult transactions, to have people sitting there, like, is there a small percent increase? Have you talked about that scenario where you give a small increase every year when you evaluate that?
We do have that discussion, but it's, so walk-in transaction for registration, we charge $12. If you're online, it's free. So the higher that number gets, that's another factor to push people online. So when you receive your registration renewal, it shows how much it costs for each transaction type, whether it's online, mail-in, or in-person. And if that spread gets bigger, then people are going to be more inclined to go online, and then we lose the transaction completely.
And I hear what you're saying, but I can't help asking the question, is that necessarily bad if people automate and go online?
That's a philosophy decision, and then, yeah. No. Long story short, no. Where ITD is going, I can't say that it doesn't make sense. It makes sense, but at some point we're going to be left with the most challenging, difficult transactions, and maybe it's not Canyon County's name on the door at that point in time.
Right.
I'm trying to go without saying that today, but there it is.
No, it's fine. Right. Yeah, and that would, in the truest sense, if the state took it over, then you would be focused entirely on assessing. That would be a different scenario.
Commissioner Rebbe, that would be a very different scenario. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I just had to ask the question because this is the free window shopping space where we get to vet ideas and talk about what that looks like.
Yeah. And as that happens, then at some point in time, that's why every year I'm reluctant to fill positions, because I'm worried about that happening, that we're going to have a lower number of walk-in transactions.
And I hear what you're saying. And for some of those more difficult transactions that require a hands-on person with expertise, that's more, not that everybody out there isn't valuable because you have a great staff, but that value is increased because of the complexity of the transaction in my mind. But I'm not the assessor, so.
Okay, page four is more of the same. This is title fees. We do not set the title fee. It's $3. Per title that we handle in our office. By Idaho code, that's what it's set at. So we're a little bit ahead in that department on counts and also dollars received. So that's a pretty simple, straightforward one. Page five, the title admin fee. This was new starting in fiscal year 2023, so I didn't include 23 on it because it was only a portion of the year. This we have the ability to adjust, and it's is $7 at the moment. I should know that off the top of my head. Yeah. And if you'll look, counts were a little bit ahead, and we're also ahead on money through the October through March, second column to the right. So we're a little bit ahead there. The next biggest one is transfers, and we don't really have, we don't have the ability to change any dollar amount. If I was to run legislation, I'd probably add the ability to add a county transfer admin fee and also adjust the an inspection fee. Those are more time-consuming transactions that I don't feel that we receive the necessary revenue for. But today, we're about 10% behind on transactions, and we're a little bit behind on money received as well, if you're looking at October to March. And then here's kind of a five-year history of the profit loss out there. We've had a lot of changes to our financial makeup. I believe it was in fiscal year 21, ITD coming through COVID, that helped us process renew by mail and started issuing online registrations. They started sending those out for us. We were going through not only COVID time, but we also were just rolling into the GEM program, and we were having substantial challenges completing transactions. So once they were able to figure out how to batch process online payments, and quickly send those out in the mail, and also those mail-in renewals. Well, we were at our sister conference in Salmon, and they told us they were no longer going to share the revenue from those transactions with us. I lost it. I don't think very many other assessors understood how much revenue they were going to lose to help support their office. So at that point in time, we started working on getting the ability to increase our admin fees and also increase or establish that county title admin fee. So through time, you can see what that's, all the changes have done to us. 2021, we were ahead 206,000. We were behind 32,000 in 2022, 116,000. We were behind in 2023. 2024, we barely squeaked by at $6,000. And then last year, with the vacancies, we had five vacancies. So we ended up, after that addition of the additional health insurance premium, we ended up 126,000 ahead. So if you have collectively through 5 years, we ended up we were ahead 189,000. That money goes back to the general fund. It doesn't sit in a motor vehicle fund that if we were short, we would just pull out of that. It goes into the general fund. So long story short, on this budget, we're designed to operate by the fees we generate. So we try to be as close to zero as possible. Some years we're going to be behind, some years we're going to be ahead, but we do not include maintenance of the building, cleaning, or remodeling efforts within our fees established. So overall, we are probably, if we figured those in, we would be behind, but we've never included those in any calculations.
Why not?
When we were doing our admin fee calculations, the PA's office recommended that we don't include that in the direct costs for the admin fees.
How long ago was that?
3 years, probably.
Let's revisit it.
Chairman Brooks, are you saying that different attorneys may have different opinions?
100%.
Okay. We can do that.
Our attorneys don't agree with Ada County all the time. Vice versa, so.
Yeah. Well, and then it goes back to how much are we willing to adjust the fees? Because then it begins the shift, the artificial shift. But I do get what you're saying. It should encompass all of it. And then I think you've had the sheriff here already, but it would be nice if they had some admin fees on their side that you all could set to help establish enough revenue to help them cover the cost of the transactions out there as well, but they can pitch that.
Well, and say that because that's driven by the state, not necessarily by the county.
Correct.
Yeah.
I do not believe they have anything, any fees that you all can establish to help them fund that portion of their office.
I just always like to include where that's driven, what the basis of that is.
Yeah, the legislature sets the fees. So that's kind of the employment, the wage-based stuff and the transactional basis. A lot of the other fees in there, service contracts, we don't have a hard quote yet, but we're looking to upgrade our Nemo queue system, our queuing system out there. That's why I put an additional $2,000 in there. In the next month or so, we can fine-tune that number if there is an ability to update the system. I did remove inmate uniforms at the guidance of our controller. We don't have any inmates to put our uniforms for. But if you will see down below, we have, so it went from 553-305 inmate uniforms of $1,500 to 554-445 uniforms, just plain uniforms of $1,500. So we're looking to get office-wide attire. Shirts for uniform shirts for everybody to wear in that budget. Outside of that, there's not a lot of changes in that one.
Okay. And this is a small point in the grand scheme of things, but we're looking at standardizing who we use for a shirt and logo shop, and then having a qualified amount of, because I think it's right to have people look professional and branded for a government organization, but to make that fair, we're always about fair.
Yeah.
Fair and impartial.
We've purchased hats. Everybody has a hat currently. We've worked with Director Britton, and then Becky in his office has shared who they purchased stuff through, so that's where we would go when we get that.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions on that one?
I don't have any. Do you? Any
no.
More?
No.
I think we're good to go to the next one.
Is there power to these?
Yep.
Yeah.
Try this one. Okay. Right. Try that one. Try that one.
I don't.
Yep, it's right there.
Just as you knock it out. Good thing without me.
Thanks. Are those both powered?
Should be a ball.
This one is the reappraisal budget. So a little more to this one. There's 24 employees at the DMV. There's 40-ish in our reappraisal office. We are... As you heard yesterday, our parcels are exploding. I think 2 years ago, you'll see later in here, 2 years ago, we had roughly 2,700 new building lots. Last year, we had 3,700 new building lots. That right there's one whole appraiser's position. So in this budget, we're asking for three new positions. We're asking for an assessor admin. We'd also like to rename our frontline customer service positions into assessor admins 1 and 2. We're gonna work with HR on that. And these numbers again, Director Danner has not seen this yet. So we're asking for 1 assessor admin, 1 plat tech, and 1 certified appraiser. So 1 position for each one of the groups within our reevaluation office. And then we'd like to, we're looking at what one person is doing today is way more than what their job description has done. They've been here for over 20 years, and they're doing substantially more than what their position says. So that's the $10,000 line. And then we have another position within the front office that we would like to move from an admin 1 to an admin 2, which is more of a senior level position from an entry level position. And then also the plat techs, I believe they're eligible to move from the entry level plat tech position to a senior level plat tech. And then I also put in an amount for additional benefits there on actually both the positions and the promotions. I don't know if that's an exact amount, but it's something to get us close in the ballpark. Step and grade, similar to the DMV, I built the model for the office back in 2025, and just to maintain that step and grade and to catch up from what didn't happen last year. And then again, this plan also has 10 years min to mid, and again, with Director Danner's comments, 5 years is probably more appropriate. And then this one also uses 20 years on the next mid to max for a total of 30 years. Not many of us make it 30 years at the county. We do have some. I will not be one. I hope. And then I did put the additional cost of benefits in there. And then a COLA, 3% COLA. Again, that was placeholder, just to put something in. So it was included in the budget. And we also have a graduated regressive one, like you were talking. Like we started out with 2.5 at the bottom and then ended up at 1% at the top. Each grade got a different amount. So we've got some scenarios to look at there. And then we can also see what that ends up. Page 2 is that subdivision lot graph chart. Wow. That's a lot of lots, right? County portion's pretty small. Put that on the record. The county portion's pretty small.
That's right. I'm doing the math right now.
Page 3, you can see our parcel number continues to increase. As the parcel numbers increase, that affects all 3 departments in this office, in the reevaluation office. The deeds coming and going, name changes, going into trusts, out of trusts, into corporations, all that stuff affects lot splits, affects that office.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Affects the plat room. And then moving on to page 4, you'll also see this is our homeowners exemptions that we handle, that we're responsible for. So I became assessor in, that should say 2017. There was, 2007 when I started here, was 48,000. And now, clear up to 2026, we're at 65,586. And that group has remained relatively the same size since I started. So we're asking for 1 additional position to help with that. And not only are we handling annual exemptions all year long, where in the past we only processed those, whatever had a homeowner's exemption as of April 15th, done. And we just started working for the next year. Now we're monitoring them all year long. We put as many on before we send out assessment notices, and then we continue putting them on the assessment roll up to the second Monday in July. And then we send roll corrections to the treasurer's office prior to sending out tax bills. So it's that alone has added a level of additional load to the front office.
Chairman, I have a question. So on your front office, I'm just making sure that we're on the same page. That's the assessor admin on the front page. Those two go together. All right. And then, Chairman, if I could ask another question. Mm-hmm. I'm totaling the value of your new positions, promotion, step and grade, and COLA that you're presenting, and it's $520,000, if I did my math correctly.
That is correct.
Okay.
For the promotion, step and grade, and COLA, and $240,000 for the L.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
And those $280,000 and $240,000 are both entered in unit.
Okay. Thank you.
Page five is the plat room, plat tech position, showing the last 3 years what their deed counts were going into that office. You can see a substantial increase from 24 to 25. And that was a pretty heavy burden on that group. Page six, we don't share this a lot. This is what we report to the State Tax Commission on. We haven't sent it this year yet, but this shows our five-year progress. We have to physically reinspect all the properties in Canyon County on a five-year cycle. So this report we run and send in. If we fail this, they can hire people to come in, do the work, and then bill up for it. I think it actually might come out of sales tax revenue. So we're sitting at 15% for the last five-year cycle coming up next year. So we've done well to maintain this. I think we were front-loaded a lot. We did a lot of the work in the beginning years, and we've just maintained the last couple of years. So that's part of the reason why we're asking for another appraisal position. On the page seven is the final chart. You can see what this shows is when we've added appraiser positions, what it's done to their parcel load. So adding the brown little speck would be a new appraisal position. So it would help reduce the amount of parcels that each appraiser is required to be responsible for. And as we're growing pretty fast, I'm afraid that if you grant this position, there may be another position soon in the next couple years, if not next year. As fast as new parcels are being generated and created and new houses are being grown. I think we heard in the news there was just another 600 and some lot subdivision approved. I think that was in Nampa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Caldwell is approving them as well. So this office is definitely seeing the effects of growth. Any questions on that stuff? If anybody's doing the math on number seven on the budget narrative, the numbers don't match. On the step and grade, I forgot to reduce the promotion dollars from that step and grade. So it's better to look off page number one on this handout than the narrative. I went back and forth it a little bit, so apologize for that. Changes that have went through, going through the UNA lines, our district court case with Amazon is coming to an end, so I've reduced some of the amounts that we've asked for in the past on that. I did leave a small chunk of money in there for whatever decision goes, usually it goes at this point to the Supreme Court, so we'll anticipate having our outside attorney for that as well. Our 521120, our miscellaneous professional services. Typically when I send, when I establish my budget, I'm doing an estimate on the amount of costs for our assessment and mailing. Last year I over-budgeted a little bit, so I'm backing that number off this year. We'll know pretty soon if that was appropriate or not. Assessment notices should hit the mail today, tomorrow, or Friday.
Yeah.
So we'll see how close that number is. We'll monitor that in the next, before the next meeting. Services contracts, we adjusted that down just a hair. Not a lot of big changes in our budget till we get down to computer equipment. We've got a lot of stuff that has been recommended by IT to be replaced. They sent us a quote with $1,600 per machine, but we, with as many monitors and the processing that we do, we get upgraded machines that are typically about $1,800. They have additional memory and they have, they're not using the onboard video card, they have a separate video card. So they cost a little bit more. And then I entered some software. We're gonna end up buying a couple additional software Crystal Report licenses. We're buying two right now for $1,000 out of this budget. And then we'll probably buy another two. And then small office equipment, we need to replace two high volume scanners. They're several years old and they're 15 years old. They're on their last leg, and if they give up, we're in a world of hurt because we're pretty much paperless in our office. We have virtually no file cabinets, so they get used a bunch.
And that's on the schedule from IT?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Office furniture, with as many employees we have, we typically replace chairs fairly frequently. Okay, so I misspoke. The small office equipment, that's cameras, laser measurers, stuff like that for appraisers. There's kind of on a replacement cycle. The scanners that I was talking about is online, 680-420 for $12,000. So two at $6,000. Then we come to the big one. Everybody's heard, I've been dropping $2.5 million for the last two at least budget cycles. And we're finally to that day. The treasurer's office and I have been in discussions with Omentum to upgrade our software platform. It's substantially old. We had it in Washington County when I was out there 25 years ago. It's a very aging technology. We're doing a lot of processes external to the system that will be built into the new one. We need to go down the path of upgrading before it turns to where it's no longer an efficient program to use. Ada County just approved, and they're adopting, moving to Omentum platform as well. I believe it would be a great time for us to follow along with them. They're very familiar with our product, Omentum is, so we're going to get a little bit better rate. We're partnering. It's kind of it's a tiered approach on our quote that we've received. We've been in discussions with Bonneville County and Kootenai County. All three of us want to upgrade at the same time. Staggered a little bit. We'd probably be the pilot of that group. And so right now our quote's 2.23, 2.25, something like that. the more people we join up with us, the better our price point's gonna be. They think that they can get it down to sub $2 million. And this is a collective upgrade with the treasurer's office and us. I really don't think it would be wise for either one of us to break apart from the program. Clerk does have a portion of this package as well. But it's gonna be expensive. Do you have a question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so we budgeted last year to have a fit gap analysis done for both the treasurer side and our side. We put $125,000 in for each of our budgets for a total of $250,000. In discussions with Omentum Technology last week, they didn't believe that we needed to do the fit gap analysis after everything that they've been through with Ada County. They thought they were very familiar with what the structure needs to be for Idaho, and they know our system set up already, so the conversion would be a little less challenging for them to get done. So they recommended that we just take that money and put it together with the $175,000 that we've each asked for, and that could help us get down the road of implementation. It's going to be several years payment schedule. So the front fiscal year 2027 would be less expensive compared to the next two. The next two fiscal years would be substantially more because more of the work's been done. So there'd be a lot more cost build in those fiscal years. So we're looking at, we've been on a lot of different projects, so haven't got a nice pretty chart put together for you, but we can put together, working with Jennifer and Steve, we can put together kind of a estimated time frame of expenses for you. And we've also been talking about how long we could extend that implementation period, or cost amortization. They know that we're in some budget constraints. So they're kind of willing to work with us on that aspect as well. So the next time we meet, we can have some better information along that line. And with that, that's kind of...
Your office?
My office.
Did you want to talk about that?
Doing a remodel?
Oh. Not in my budget, kind of out of sight, out of mind. So we originally put money in this year to remodel my office. As you know, we remodeled the appraiser side, moved Holly's office over there. So the chief appraiser, chief deputy, and the three of us were all together in the corner. Well, we kind of spread everything out, that way upper management would be kind of spread throughout the office. And the last part was removing those two small offices, remodeling mine. And there's been a small project going on to the east of us here that'll be wrapping up here pretty soon. So we're looking at if we are able to fill the two positions, probably going to change up how we remodel a little bit. We'll use some of the money from this year, and then if I believe Rick put in a small amount for next year, we'll build another station, shrink my office, and build room for possibly two more front office people, and then also move one of the plat techs off the line, the more senior one of the group, off the line so she can focus on chasing all the plats with the new building lots down, less interruptions for her. So there is some money in there. Rick, I don't remember how much you put in for this side.
7,000.
And that's for fiscal year 26, right?
27.
Okay, for 27. So we have some money for 26 and there's some money for 27. So with that much, I think definitely do anything that we need to do. And then we've got a couple projects out at the DMV. We'd like to put some, extend the counters into the the customer side, so if they need to sign documents, they can sign documents and not be in the area where our team works. If we were gonna stay in this business long-term, we might look at some different options, but I'm not sure what the duration of time of that.
Yeah, it's kind of a improve it for efficiency and usability, but not spend so much if it's gonna be somebody else's.
That's yeah. A very fair statement, yes.
Okay. You have any questions over there?
I don't.
You good?
Thank you, yeah. Thanks for being here.
Yep. Appreciate your time.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. With that, we will take another 5-minute recess and then go through the clerk's budget.